We're going to start Malachi. If you want to turn there, Malachi. I was thinking about this as we move towards Christmas. I guess this would be our introductory in our Christmas series. I'm going to, we'll be doing it until through Christmas. Pastor Jim will be doing some of the teachings. So as I was thinking about this, because somebody asked me, and I don't even know who it was, they said, do you know the last word of the Old Testament? And it was funny because, I wouldn't necessarily had been able to think of the last word of the Old Testament, but I had just gone through reading Malachi. And I remember because I thought, it never kind of dawned on me that the last word of the Old Testament is curse. And so in Malachi 4:6, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. I just thought that was interesting. The last word in the Old Testament is curse. One of the first words, certainly of Jesus, that we have, certainly Jesus, one of Jesus' first teaching is the Beatitudes, the blessed. And so the last word of the Old Testament, curse, maybe the first teaching of Jesus talking about how we can be blessed. We know between Malachi and the birth of Jesus, it was 400 years. And I've thought about that, just to kind of set the timing here, that for 400 years, I always liked my Thompson Chain Reference Bible because it has all these helps. And one of the pages in there is just, I think it's actually between the Old and New Testament. You go to Malachi and then there's a page and it says on that page, 400 years of silence, and then you go to the New Testament. And so from Malachi, this last prophet we have with the message that he has, there are 400 years of silence where that there wasn't a prophet speaking. There wasn't a message from God that was really being heard. You might say that God was kind of silent. I mean, they had, the Old Testament scriptures, but there wasn't, there wasn't a definite, word from the Lord. There was kind of like a distance. I always think of those times as, I know if I don't do my devotions, things start going wacky pretty quick. And the first thing that happens with me when I don't do my devotions is I start getting anxious. And I'll start, worrying. And even when I do devotions, I do that. But it really is amplified. My mind will just be racing and I'll be anxious and worried and hyper about everything. And that's usually, over the years, I've learned that when that starts happening, I need to get into the Word and just really, stay there. Because if not, then I get distant. Then I get depressed. Then I begin to withdraw. Beyond that, then I get ugly. And I start, doing things that I shouldn't be doing and thinking things that I shouldn't be thinking. And I think, wow, 400 years. 400 years of no definable message, really. God, not being expressed through a prophet. How many generations is that? 400 years, maybe, what's a generation in the Bible? 80? Is that kind of what they go? 40 to 80, yeah, four. If you go 40, just think of how many generations of that is. Ten generations of God. And so when I think of this, I just think of like darkness. I think of chaos. I think of a world that's really in need. And so when I think of that, I try and apply that to today, because I think, again, we're in need of really pressing into the Lord and really being intimate with the Lord. And I think we're in a time that again, is a dark time. And so I wanted, as I set that in that timing and knowing that this was what was coming, Malachi has hope. He deals with a number of issues. You know, really a number of complaints that God's people were expressing. And he really deals with each of these complaints, but there's hope in all this. And of course, the hope is Jesus. The hope is the Messiah. And Malachi speaks to that. And so let's go to Malachi chapter 3, and this is where I kind of wanted to spend our time, just in three verses here this morning. There's a dark time coming, but there's hope. You might say there's a light at the end of the tunnel. That light's Jesus. The Messiah is coming. And so Malachi prophesies this and speaks to this. Behold, I send my messenger. After 400 years of silence, there's going to be a prophet that comes on the scene. I'll send my messenger. It's John the Baptist. I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And so John the Baptist is coming. If you want to look, just turn up to Matthew chapter 11. I just put a few of these in there in your outline. Matthew 11, verse 10. For this is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before me. We don't have to guess who the messenger is. John. I like John's description really of himself. He says that he was a voice. When you think of a voice, today with the technology we have, we can't actually see the voice, but we can see, I don't know what that is, you can see on a machine, the wave form of the voice. But you can't really see the voice, you can see the wave form. And I've always think that really fits John the Baptist. He was a voice. You hear the voice, but you don't see the voice. You know, John, he wasn't a prophet that he wanted to necessarily be seen. He wasn't somebody that had to be at the forefront. He was very humble. He was very focused on what God called him to do. And so John the Baptist, again, he has some neat things. I think we talked about this certainly Wednesday night, because we went through John chapter 3. You know, that John had such a humility about him and such a heart that he knew that he really could receive nothing but that it was given to him from heaven. Anything we have this morning has been given to us from heaven. Now, John, when he's saying these things, he could have been in prison at the time. Paul, certainly, we looked at Paul. Paul's in prison as we've gone through the epistles, the letters of Paul. When he wrote most of them, he was in prison, and yet he writes, rejoice. He writes, you know, God has a purpose. I see God's hand in my life. I know that I'm in prison to further the gospel. You know, that he had received prison from the Lord. In fact, he calls himself not a prisoner of Rome, not a prisoner of circumstance, not a prisoner of his enemies. He calls himself a prisoner of Christ. Wow. That's powerful. John also says he must increase. And we kind of sang that, right? Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. He must increase. As he increases, I decrease. See, there's a whole lot of Christians today, they're full of themselves today. That's why they're unhappy. That's why they're all disjointed. That's why nothing satisfies them. That's why they're always looking for something else. Because they're just filled with themselves. They're not filled with Jesus. If you're filled with Jesus, you're satisfied. In the worst of circumstances. I mean, I talk to them all the time. They're unhappy about this. They're unhappy about that. They're unhappy because they're not in Jesus. They're not intimate with Jesus. They don't respect their parents. They don't respect the church. They don't respect anything. They don't respect the Lord because they're not filled with the Lord. And so they're always complaining and they're always criticizing. They're always looking to fill their lives with something else other than Jesus. And they'll never be satisfied. Never. Because they're not filled with Jesus. They're filled with themselves. Jesus increase in me. As Jesus increases in me, then I will decrease. And as Jesus increases in me, then Jesus comes out of me. As I'm not satisfied, as you're not satisfied, again, when I'm away from the Lord, and I can get away from the Lord, I know what happens in my own life. Again, it just becomes all about me, and then I begin to attack other people around me. And do you think I'm fulfilling my purpose at all in Christ? Because my purpose is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. My purpose is to be an ambassador of Christ. I'm just an ambassador of me. I just want what I want. This is going to satisfy me. And so I'm not sharing Jesus with anybody. I've never seen anybody. Again, the ones that are unhappy and they're always complaining, I've never seen them bringing anybody to Jesus. They're just concerned about themselves. And they're deceived, see? They're filling their life with the wrong things. That's why they're always unhappy. That's why they're always searching for more. It's interesting, it came to pass when Jesus... it's interesting that John the Baptist had such a handle on all that. Paul had such a handle on that, on all that. So... John the Baptist is the messenger. Behold, I'll send my messenger. He'll prepare the way before me. And I thought this was interesting. And the Lord whom you seek, who is he writing to? He's writing to the Jewish people. He's writing to God's people. Malachi was. Because he is expressing these concerns, these complaints. And then God was responding to those complaints. You don't love us anymore. And God's saying, well, what are you talking about? I don't love you. Oh, you haven't, given to us. And God said, well, look at all I've given to you. In fact, it's just the opposite. You haven't given to me. You're actually robbing me. And so, behold, I send my messenger. He'll prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek. See, Malachi is identifying right off the bat. They need the Lord. They need. And they're seeking what? What would the Jewish people be seeking at that time? The Messiah, right? They're looking for the Messiah. Now, we're going to jump ahead. In the next few weeks, the Messiah came, right? So the Jewish people just love that. They found who they were seeking for, right? No. No, they didn't. I put in an outline. John 1:10. Let's look at that. John 1:10. We should just read the whole thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. I mean, just think of those words. The light shines in darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He He wasn't the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world didn't know him. Wow. He came. The answer came. The Messiah came. The light came. Life came. Truth came. Yet the world didn't receive him. And then look at the next verse. He came to his own. And the Lord whom you seek. And he came to his own. And his own did not receive him. And when I was reading that this week, I was thinking, wow. That's an amazing thing. Why didn't his own receive him? Because they didn't like how he came. Isn't that the bottom line? Isn't that the bottom line? Because they wanted a Jesus that they wanted. And they didn't receive him. They wanted a Jesus that would conquer. They wanted a Jesus that would deliver them. They wanted a Jesus that would throw off this oppressive Roman occupation and government. They wanted a Messiah on a conquering horse, and that's not who came, was it? And we're going to see. I mean, we know the story. I mean, we know for sure the story. You know, here comes the Messiah, and he's not a conqueror; he's a baby. He's not the ruler. He's a king. But he's humble. He's lowly. And just as I was thinking about that again this week, I was just trying to look at my own life. How many times do I not know him? How many times do I reject Jesus? Why? Because Jesus doesn't fit into the mold that I want him. I go, wow. You know, Jesus doesn't fit into the mold that I should follow Jesus and my life should be everything that I want my life to be. And I can't have everything I want right now, and so man, this isn't right. The Jesus that they were, the Messiah, they were seeking a Messiah, and then the Messiah came, and I wonder how often do I reject the Lord in my own life? Because I have a false idea of Jesus, even in my own life. Wow. You mean I'm a Christian and I'm sick? You know, I think for some of the young people here, you know, not a lot, but you know, I think how often, I think we all go through it. You mean I have to obey my parents and respect my parents? I'm not going to do that. But yet it's the very thing that Jesus has told us that we have to do. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because I know more. I know more than my parents. Or they're not, my parents aren't giving me what I want. I think sometimes even the church, we don't understand even Jesus and the church and what the church is and the whole purpose of the church. Man, Wow, you mean to tell me that? And so we make the church what we think it should be. And we're never satisfied with maybe the church, or we're never really, what we're not satisfied is, we're not satisfied with our life. Because we're not intimate with Jesus, we don't know Jesus, and we're not filled with Jesus. We're looking for something else to fill us. And nothing is ever going to fill us until we fill our lives with Jesus. And that's the only thing. You know, Christmas, and I think of this so often. There'll be a church in Warren. They'll have their blue Christmas service. I'm going, wow, that's weird. And there's a church in Warren. They'll have a service. It's called the Blue Christmas Service. Because everybody's depressed. For all the depressed people during Christmas. Or they're depressed because they don't know, they're not pressing into Jesus. They're not filled with Jesus. The majority of them. Now, in one of our prayers this morning, we prayed a number of times, I can't remember which one. Whoever prays it, you know, they prayed for this time and they prayed for this season. And there's been, you know, tragedies this past year and losses, horrible losses. How am I going to survive? How am I going to get through those losses? Jesus, fill in my life with Jesus. Christmas is the biggest bummer in the world. If I'm not filling that Christmas with Jesus, if it isn't all about Jesus, because it isn't about. It isn't, I almost have, you know, I want to puke at times because Kim and I will sit and we'll watch Hallmark. Now all you have to do is watch one movie. And every one of the next movies is going to be exactly like different people, but the same. And what are they telling you? That at Christmas time, something magical is going to happen. And for sure, in the end, it's going to be okay. In fact, it's going to be miraculous. I look at these situations, and I'm going, wow. And it's all because of Christmas. And that, what a lie. What a lie all that is. I'm just saying, there's nothing magical about Christmas. Yeah, not in that way at all. And it's so goofy. But yet that's what we buy into. And we think, and you might have just experienced it a little bit, because we had Thanksgiving, most of us somehow, and you think, oh man, this is gonna be so wonderful. You know, all the family's gonna be together. Well, maybe when the family gets together, it just ain't the greatest times. You know what I mean? I mean, let's face reality. You know, maybe the dark sheep came home, you know, or the rabble-rouser, and it's always a rabble-rouser. You know, there's always something going on, you know, and they always want the attention. They always want to grab the spotlight. Again, what is it? They always, Thanksgiving even has to be about them. Maybe you've got somebody in your family like that, and it's just like, wow, you know, why in the world did we even do this? You can make it about Jesus. You see what I'm saying? In Christmas, if that's what you're looking forward to Christmas, you know, to the family gathering or a family dinner or the magical moment or whatever, it's not going to happen. And then if it's all gifts, I mean, you're not going to get what you probably want. And the sad thing is then you got to pay for it later. And so it's a bummer. It's really a bummer to put all your hope and your happiness in that kind of a thing. It's about Jesus. And until we, you can include some of those things. But if that's what is bringing the satisfaction and the fulfillment, it's going to be a downer. And so I think the Jewish people, they were seeking, and I think how often we seek, and really we're skewed. We're seeking a skewed. Again, maybe God has allowed sickness into my life during this Christmas season, or whatever. you know, if I'm walking with him, I got to be filled with him. And so, behold, I'll send my messenger. And so we're in this dark time. God promises there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The Messiah is coming. The messenger, John the Baptist, is coming. He's going to prepare the way. And his preparation was he was preaching repentance. And then the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Now, you can read this and you start thinking, wow, you know, John the Baptist and the Messiah is coming. And you find this in prophecy. Sometimes it's not clear cut that Malachi now is going to just talk about the incarnation, the birth. But there's a blending to a certain extent. Not only is he talking about the birth, but he's now going to also talk about the second coming is in here. Now, I want to kind of stay with the birth, but I want you to understand that sometimes these things kind of flow together. And they're not exactly defined. He's just talking about the virgin birth here. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Now here, I mean, this is definitely not the baby in the manger here, this here. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. And so, what I want to do is just touch on this morning the description. And I think it applies to both, even though he came as a baby in a manger. I think this is a unique description of the Messiah. For he, and I hope I'm not making a mistake here, he's like a refiner's fire, he says. And like launderer's soap. Thinking of the launderer's soap, I did kind of a laundry yesterday. Kim helped me because I'm so inept. To get the stuff clean, I put laundry soap in there. That's what it does, right? It cleans the dirt off. It takes the stink out. In essence, it cleans, refreshes, and purifies. Jesus comes. And I like Jesus' curse. Jesus comes and he says, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed. Jesus comes as a baby, grew to be a man, went to the cross, nailed to a cross, died on a cross, shed his blood, poured out his blood, so that what? We could be cleansed. There's the initial cleanse that we need to be cleansed. We need to be cleansed from our sin. He comes, and even as a baby laying in a manger, he walked that journey from the cradle, and I've always liked that, you know, I don't know if it's original, but from the cradle what? To the cross. The cross is necessary. He came to save. He came to cleanse. John, we're studying John Wednesdays. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In him we have eternal life. In him we must be saved. Our sin must be dealt with, cleansed. So we think, I accept Jesus. Oh, phew. Yeah, I'm done. No. I think we continually need to be cleansed, right? Again, we every day need to be washed in the water of the Word, right? Why? Because just being in the world, we're getting contaminated. We're getting dirty. And so the Word cleanses us. It has a cleansing effect. Last night, Jesus is with his disciples. He takes the bowl, girds himself, takes the towel and washes his disciples' feet. They need to be cleansed. We need to be cleansed. We need to be refreshed. Initially. Now, we're relying on God's grace, right? And we live in God's, in the age of grace. God's amazing grace. What's he say here? Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? Well, there's going to come a time. Man, I do not want to stand before the Lord in judgment without my name being, without being cleansed. Right? And so, the answer to those questions, no one. No one who's not in Christ. And so Jesus' purpose, you know, as we think about Christmas, I wanted to think about cleansing. Cleansing and refreshing. And I, hopefully all of us, I think all of us here, you know, we come every week, we're intimate enough. We've been born again. We've been cleansed. We need to continually be cleansed. All right, we're not going to get born again, but we need to walk in continual renewal and cleansing. And the Lord brings that. But then he says, so the launderer's soap. I think, isn't that beautiful? You wouldn't think of necessarily think of that when we look at Jesus in the manger. In the feeding trough, you know, here's this little, don't you love, I mean, my little grandkids, I mean, with the little lotions and stuff, just the smell of a baby. It's sweet, it's special, right? He's laughing, it is, it's like, what? Well, not always, but when you see that, you need something he's done, right? But, you know, just that cleansing. But then he's like a refiner's fire. And when you think of a refiner's fire, that's intense. That's heat. That's, you watch, you know, them take all those flakes and little nuggets, and if you've ever watched it, you know, they put it in that crucible and heat it up, and it's like a black stuff comes up on the top. You know, they pour that out, they purify the gold, the dross. Jesus is a refiner. And I'm thinking this Christmas, again, I want to walk in cleansing. I want to walk in a continual cleansing. Lord, I, you know, cleanse me today. But I also want him to be a refiner in my life. And when I think of, again, being a refiner, man, That can be hot, right? That can be an intense thing. Let me ask you, what, even this week, what has the Lord brought to your heart, to your mind? Lord, I know this needs dealt with. I need cleansed from it. Lord, what are you refining in my life right now? And my thought, just because, and I'm just talking to myself. Wow. You know what? When I'm just clipping along, and really, I'm not even thinking about it. That's the farthest thing from my mind. I am so doing it. I'm working. I'm earning. Things are going, wow, this is fantastic. And I've had no thought of the Lord, no thought of that the Lord is doing anything personally in my life. I actually think I'm probably, if I'm not in a backslidden state, I'm probably really close. Because the Lord's a refiner. And he's talking again, there's going to be judgment coming. We're in grace. But in that grace, he's still refining my life. And if I'm not being refined, then I'm just a baby Christian. And that's probably why I'm whining all the time. You know, Christians, that's all they do is whine. They're just whining. You know, this ain't right, that ain't right, this ain't, you know, rah, 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 rah. You know, and I'm just a baby Christian, and babies whine. They're not satisfied with anything. And I don't want to whine. I don't want to be a big baby as a Christian. And the way God deals with that, he refines and he burns stuff off in my life, and a lot of times it's not pleasant at all. Are any of us as Christians being refined? This is not pleasant. This is not pleasant. I don't know how many, I deal with mainly the guys. So, you know, I'll speak to the guys. How many guys I say it. But it's said to me a lot, you know what, that's just the way I am. Don't say that. It's just the way you are because you want to be that way. I want Jesus to change me. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be the way I am. Because the way I am isn't like Jesus. That's why I'm angry. That's why, you know, I'm anxious. That's why all these things are going on in my life. And I live my whole life making an excuse of why I don't allow the Lord to do what he wants to do in my life. In fact, I claim to be seeking him, I'm not seeking him. Because he's something other than what I've made him to be in my life. You know what? He's for everybody else. Make that person like that or change that person's life. But don't deal with me. You know, I'm going to continue to be me. Man, I want to be like Jesus. And I want him to change me. And so I was thinking, I don't know why the Lord even let, I was, man, a launderer, launder soap, and a refiner. He's come to refine us. He's come to burn that junk out of my life. And but I think as we walk with the Lord, it gets more intense and more intense. Come on, Lord. You mean I have to really change this? And I don't think it might be something as outward as originally it may have been in my life. These are things that I might even claim are my personality. God made me this way.
therefore I have a right to cling to it.
No, if he's convicting me and dealing with that, he's saying, I need you to give that to me. I want to burn it off. And boy, can it be hard. And boy, can it be intense. You mean I really have to give that up? Yeah, if you want to become more like me. And so, he's like a refiner's fire. He's like launderer's soap. And again, we're saved. You know, we're not going to stand before the white throne judgment. But man, that is not going to be a happy place. But you know what? We are going to stand before the Bema Seat judgment. See? And our motives, I think, are going to be evaluated. That's a scary thing for me. And I thank God for his grace in that. But Lord, I want to be totally satisfied with you. I want to be totally fulfilled in you. Paul, again, Jesus, not my will, but your will be done, Father. At the moment, maybe of his greatest struggle, Paul in prison. Wow. I want to be like that. How many of us are in prison? None of us. Literal prison, none of us. And look at, again, look at how I react and the things I say and some of the things I do. How convicting. How shameful. How soft and how complacent I am. That I have every opportunity and I have the easiest road. Again, who have I invited to Bible study? Who have I invited to the Lord? Somehow, in the last whole year. And I'm standing, I've really been involved with my life, though. Yeah, that's a problem. And that's why I need to be filled with him. This Christmas, I want to be filled with him. I want him to be that refiner in my life, that launderer. And that's what I think about that's where the Lord brought me when I said, you know, what should I share to start out this Christmas thing? You know, it's not about, you know, the typical Christmas stuff that we think about. Lord, do a work in my life. As I look to you, as I desire you, as I seek you, Lord, I want to seek you in the reality of who you are. And as I do that, I know that you're going to deal with my life. You're going to deal with things in my heart and in my spirit. And Lord, I want to yield to those things.